Tonight's shiur in Parshas Shlach. Sedra begins, Vadaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Shlach lecha Anashim Yesu Eseres Kanan Asher Ninosen Lechem Nosen Libnei Yisrael Yishachad Yishachad Lamateya Batzav Sishlachu Kol Nasi Bahem. Rashi asks, Lama Nismecha Parshas Meragim LeParshas Miriam. At the end of last week's Sedra, the Parsha Miriam spoke Glashar against Moshe Beinu. What's the connection between that Sedra and this Sedra? Answers Rashi Lafisha Laksa al Iske Diva Shadibra Biachia, because Miriam, she was punished because she spoke against her brother Moshe, Lashon Hara. Rishaim Alalu Ra'u Lolachumusar. And these spies here, they saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't take a lesson from it, and they also spoke Lashon Hara. So the famous question is asked, what do you want from the Meraglim? How are they supposed to learn from Miriam? It's a big difference. Not a Kal v'chomer. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a human being. So Miriam spoke bad against a human being. That's a terrible, terrible thing. And they saw what happened to Miriam. But that's what happens when you speak against a person. But what did they do? They spoke against Eretz Yisrael. They brought a bad report about Eretz Yisrael, not about a person. So how could they learn, how should they have learned from Miriam not to speak bad about Eretz Yisrael? Miriam spoke about a person. This is Eretz Yisrael. This is Eitzim and Avonim. Famous question. Probably the most famous answer is that from the Gaon Miostrovtza. And he says, they could have learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. How? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, he was the Anam Mikol Adam. Apnei Adam. He was because he considered himself like Adama. So Mela, they could learn from Adama to Adama. They can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was like Adama. And Miriam spoke about this Adama called Moshe Rabbeinu and got punished. So too, they shouldn't speak about Eretz Yisrael, which is also Adama. Rav Steinman Shlita, he says a different idea. He says, Einachanami. Of course, there's lots of differences between speaking about a person, etc. But there's one thing that they could have, a main idea they could have and should have learned. And what is that? So let's say Yid came to the Ben Ish Chai and complained about the Jews in Europe. And says, oh, those European Jews, they're Michal Shabbos and doing this and doing that, and they're not acting properly. So the Ben Ish Chai turned to the guy and he said, I don't understand. Why are you acting like a fly instead of acting like a bee? What's that supposed to mean? He says, what does a fly do? A fly flies around garbage all the time. Where does he go? He's attracted to the garbage. You go to the garbage dumps, it's full of flies. Right? Whereas a bee, what do bees attract to? Honey, sweet things. So instead of being like a fly looking for all the garbage, oh, look, they're doing this wrong and that right, why are you attracted to the garbage? Be like a bee, attracted to the good things. Look at the good things. Mamela, that's the lesson that they didn't take. That, okay, there's differences. This is a man, this is ground. Okay, but the main point is, just like Miriam, what are you zeroing in on the negative point of Moshe Rabbeinu? Look at Moshe Rabbeinu, who he is. So through here, why are you like a fly looking for the negative things in Eretz Yisrael? Look at it from the positive things. That was the time against him. Next Rashi, comments on Shlach Lecha. What does that mean? It says Shlach Anashim, send people. Why Shlach Lecha? What's the Lecha? So Rashi says, L'datcha. It's up to you. Ani eini mitzaveh lecha. I'm not commanding you. Im tirtzeh, Shlach, you want to send? Send. Lefi shebao Yisrael, v'ramu nishlach anashim lefaneinu. They came, they wanted to send, and then, fine, so Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Rabbeinu, listen, you want to send? I'm not telling you, I'm not commanding you. You want to, it's up to you. So the Satmar Rebbe asked, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't commanded to send, so why did he send? Hashem told him, I'm not commanding you to send. So then, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu send? It's an interesting idea. Based on the Gemara in Kedusha, Naf Lamed Aleph, famous Maimer Chazal, it says, Gedola ha-metzuva ve'oseh, mimi she'in ha-metzuva ve'oseh. Right? Greater is the person who is commanded and does than one who is not commanded and does. So at first glance, sounds this should be just the opposite. Right? Somebody that volunteers to do something, say, is greater. He didn't have to do it, and he wants to do it anyways. But no, Chazal says the opposite. The one that's commanded is greater. Why? So, the Tosas there explains, because with every command comes a Yetzer Hara to want to stop you from doing that command. And the greater the command, the greater the Yetzirah. When there's no command, there's no Yetzirah. And therefore, if you're doing something voluntarily, it's no big deal, because you have no Yetzirah stopping you to do that. Whereas if you have a command, you have the Yetzirah stopping you from doing that command, and therefore, if still you do it, your reward is that much greater. Mamela said the Samir Rebbe, same thing over here. Hashem says, you know, I'm not going to command you to send spies. Why? Because there's going to be a command, with this is going to come a Yetzer Hara, and it's going to run into problems. Therefore, I'm not commanding you, it's up to you. If you send it, it'll be without a command. You want to send without a command. Without a command is much less dangerous. It's less Yetzer Hara. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, good, I'll send. No command, better chances. Unfortunately, even that didn't work, but... That was the Moshe's Kavanah and Hashem's Kavanah, not commanding. Samir Rebbe said, with this we can understand a minhag that places have, that when there's a guest rabbi is comes to a community, whatever, so they ask him to speak, they ask him to give a shmooze. She said, I don't understand. A guest rabbi, again, unless he's a gadol dor or something, but he's a guest rabbi. The Mistama, the rabbi that's living there, that's the Marta Asra, is just as great or even greater. So why Dafka give the guest to speak? So according to this, it's very nice. Why? Because the rabbi, he has a chiyuv to speak. He has a chiyuv to tell the people, give the musar, that's his job. Okay, and the people have to listen, because that, you know. So wherever we said, there's a chiyuv, there's a command, so there's a big Yetzer Hara. So the big Yetzer Hara not to do what the rabbi said, because there's a command to speak and a command to listen. Whereas a guest rabbi, he doesn't have to speak to them. They don't have to listen. So Mela, where there's no command, there's less chance, there's less Yetzer Hara not to listen. And Dafka is the guest rabbi that can get through to the people. That's why they ask him. Said in the Pasuk, Kol Nasi Behem, the Degel Machane Ephraim points out that the word Nasi has two words in it. It's made up of Yesh and Ein. The same letters of the Yesh and Ein are both in the word Nasi. Meaning that if a person is, he holds himself as Ein, then he's Yesh. He holds himself as a nobody, he's very humble, then he's Yesh, then he's somebody. Whereas if he holds himself as being a Yesh, I'm a somebody, then really he's an Ein, he's a nobody. It says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayishlach Osam Moshe L'Asur Etzar Eskenan, he told them, Aluze Banegev Valisem Esahar. He told them to go up through the Negev. What's Negev? Negev means south. Go up to the south, from the south. So the question is, why Dafka the south? Why I told him, come, go through the south. So Ben Ishchai says, idea, based on the Gemara Numa, that describes how the Kohen Gadol used to go into the Kodesh HaKadashi. How did he go in? So he went into the Heichal, and there were these two curtains, okay, that he would walk in between, and there was an opening on the south side of the Heichal. So he goes to the southmost part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal, and he enters between the curtains over there in the south part. Then he walks along between the curtains till he gets to the other side, the north, where there's an opening where he turns left and he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then walks towards Yarn, etc. Says, what's the idea? Why Dafka, is it set up like that? That he enters the south and goes along the curtain and then to the north? He said, because what does south represent? South represents the Torah. Like the Gemara says, Harotze lahachim yadrim. If you want to have wisdom, you want the Torah, yadrim. You should face to the south. So if you want, the first thing, a person always has to have a base of Torah. And therefore, the first thing, south. You have to have a base of Torah. Afterwards, you have a good, strong foundation of Torah, then you can bring in the Gashmias afterwards. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol entered the south, which is Torah, went to the north, where it says, Arotze lahashir yatzpin, you want wealth, you go to the north, but first is the Torah, you have to have a basis of Torah. Then, you want to go towards the north, you want to go towards the Gashmias, fine. But first you have to have the Torah. And therefore, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he hoped that if they would go to the north, that was a remiss to the Torah. They should have a good basis in Torah before they do their job. Levinstein says, once a Bacher asked him, he said, why do I have to learn in, you know, a full-time yeshiva, in Misgeret, you know, a framework. Why can't they go to a place that learns Afaday and learns secular studies? Or why should I learn the whole? I have to learn the whole day. So he said, he asked the Bachur to tell him. He says, "Do you have a cell phone?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Is it kosher?" So yeah, cell phone. So he says, "How long when you charge it? How long do you charge it for?" So he says, "Oh, 15, 20 minutes, whatever charge." He says, "Okay." He says, "The first time you bought the cell phone, you took it out of the package. How long did you charge it for?" He says, "I don't know, like 24 hours or something." He says, "Why?" He says, "What? This says in the instruction book. The first time you charge it, you got to charge it all the way, 24. And after that, you can charge it, you know, a few minutes at a time. The first time," he says, "Exactly. That's the answer to your question." He says, "You want to, first thing, Torah. You have to charge yourself up 24 hours. You get a full boost of Torah. When you're beginning your life, you know, as a bachur, you have to have a full boost of Torah, 24/7. After that, you want to later on go into other things, fine. But the first, when you're as bachur, at the bachur stage, you're like the cell phone to begin with. You have to have a full boost, full recharge. So that's the idea." Moshe Rabbeinu asked the spies and told them when they go in, they said, "Check out the land and see Umaaretz Asher Hu Yesh, the people there. Hatovahi Imra'a. Is it a good land or is it bad? Umahayarim, and the cities that they're there. Habimachanim Mitzarim. Umaaretz Hashmeinahi Imraza. Is it fat? Is it lean?" So the question is asked, why do you have to tell them both sides? It's confusing. You know, just tell them, is the land good? Hatovahi. Hashmeinahi. Is it fat? Why do you have to say, is it good? Is it bad? Is it fat? Is it lean? Just say the good parts. Is it good? Is it fat? So the Kotzker Rebbe says, the idea is that the land is for sure good. Nothing wrong with the land. It's just that sometimes a person doesn't look at it properly. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, Hatovahi, the land is good. I'm telling you it's good. Imra'a. Even if you look at it as bad. But it's good. Hatovahi, I feel, even if you think it's bad, Hatovahi. And Shmeinahi, it's fat, it's great, it's wonderful. Imraza, even if you think it's raza, skinny. It's not lean, it's not, it's Shmeinahi. Even if you might think that it's raza. The Moshe Rabbeinu also said to them, Hayesh ba'etz imayim. They should check, im yesh ba'etz imayim. What does that mean? Rashi says, if there's an eitz, mean im yesh bahem adam kasher she'agen aleim bizchuto. Is there a man that's kosher living there that can protect them? Because in his chus the land will be protected. Is there such a person? That's im yesh bahem adam kasher. So, question is asked, how are they supposed to know that? How are they supposed to know if the guy and who he is, it's a kosher guy? They come into the land, who's a kosher guy? How do you define a kosher guy? So they say there's a remez in the pasuk. Hayesh ba'etz, we said, is a kosher guy. How do you know if he's kosher? Im ayin. If he considers himself as ayin, as nothing, if he's not a bal gaiva, that's a kosher guy. He's going to protect the land. Hayesh ba'etz, when I was a kosher guy, im ayin. See if he's ayin. See if he's nothing. If he's nothing, he feels himself like he's a nothing. He's humble. That's a tzaddik. And they say it's a remez, cute remez in the pasuk in Shmos by Paro. Paro said, Hashem at tzaddik, v'ani v'ami arashayim. Right, Hashem's a tzaddik, and me and my people are rashayim. So they bring a following remez. They say, if you take the word out of the pasuk v'ani, and just have Hashem at tzaddik, v'ami arashayim, then the first letters of these four remaining words, Hashem is the first letter is yud, hat tzaddik, hey. Ve'ami vav and harashayim hey yud kei vav kei, meaning if you take out the ve'ani, the ego, the me, the I, then you have yud kei vav kei, then you have kedusha. Kedusha is where there's no gaiva. Also similarly, saying there's a gemara in Nedarim daf samach vav, says that the Rabbi Ishmael had a niece, and he wanted to try to marry her off. But she had her things that, you know, didn't look so good. She had a missing tooth, which she had to fill in or whatever. She had her problems with kids. So they found a bachur that they, you know, went out on a shidduch, possible, you know, bachur to marry her. And they went out with her. He took one look at it and said, forget it. So he saw that the families were trying to pressure him, whatever, so he wanted to make sure he doesn't, you know, so he made a neder, he's not going to marry this girl. Made a neder, finish. So Rabbi Shmuel had an idea. He took his niece, he says, come with me. Brought her to a beauty salon. And they fixed her up, and her hair, and her skin, and the makeup, and then he took her to a place to get a fancy dress, and jewelry, and that. Mama fixed her up. Then he brought her back to this guy and says, "Have a look at this this girl. What do you think? What do you think?" He's like, "Wow, you know, so, wow." Now, would you have made a nether if it would have been like a girl like this? You know, he goes, "Are you kidding me? No way." He says, "Surprise! This is her." And he says, "Oh." So, Rabbi Shmuel made a comment, and he said, "You see, Benos Yisrael Naos Heina." He says, all Jewish girls are actually very beautiful. But what? It's just anyus menavalatan. It's just their poverty makes them ugly. Because they're poverty stricken. They can't fix themselves up. So they look bad. But really, they're all beautiful. It's just that the poverty, their anyut, is menavalatan. So they say that you can say the same thing about the men. The Pnei Yisrael are actually very naive. They're all very nice. But it's the anyut that's minavalatan. Anyut, not with an ayin, but with an aleph. Anyut, ego, and the ani, that's what makes them ugly. All men, Jewish men, are beautiful. It's just sometimes the anyut with an aleph, the ego, their haughtiness, that's minavalatan. That's what makes them ugly. Once a, in the pasuk tovar, it's meod meod, there was once a, a meeting between Rav Mendelsohn, and he used to be no longer alive. He was the Rav of Kamimiyut, the Yeshiva Kamimiyut, and he met with this Rav Shalom Mishatz. Rav lived in Chutzlarts, and he asked him, Rav Mendelsohn asked him, "How come you don't live in Eretz Yisrael? How come you don't come to live in Eretz Yisrael?" So he answered him with a kind of a mashal, and he says, "I'll tell you." He says, "I once asked the fish." In Chutz Laaretz, where I live, I asked a fish this question. I said, "How come you don't swim to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael? You know, you have no problems. You don't have to worry about visa. You don't have a parnasa, a place to work and live. And yeah, so just why don't you just swim over to Eretz Yisrael and go there? Why are you staying here in Chutz Laaretz?" He says, "You know what they answered me?" He says, "What?" He says, "No, we don't want to go there. Why? Because we're worried that the fishermen are going to catch us on Shabbos." Hinting to the fact that since there's non-religious people in Eretz Yisrael, that's why I don't want to come to Eretz Yisrael, because there's non-religious people there. So Rav Mendelsohn says, "Okay, very nice. If you don't mind, I'd like to answer you with a mashal." He says, "Please." He says, "There was once a king that he had a number of sons, and every single one of them was a rotten, was mushkas, except for one of them. One son was a good boy. All the others were terrible, terrible people. So the good boy, he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't stand being in the surroundings of his brothers, so he just took off and left. So his father, was very upset. His son left, So he contacted him. He says, "Please, you have to come by. Come back to me. Please, please, come back. So he sent back a message to his father. He says, "Listen, I'd love to, but I can't." He says, "My brothers are disgusting people." He says, "I'm embarrassed. I can't be around them. I'm embarrassed." So he says, "You know what the king answered him, told the son?" He says, "Fine." He says, "You're worried about your covet." He said, "But what about my covet?" In other words, at least when you were here, people said, "Oh, the king at least has one good boy." But now you're not here, and people think, "I'm nobody. I'm no good boys. So at least for my sake, come back." So Mela, he said, so too, hinting to the Rav in Chutz Laaretz, he says, there's people, no good people in Eretz Yisrael Lafek. That's why you got to go. So at least there should be some good people. Like Hashem could say, in my house there are at least some good people. Some of my sons are good. If you don't come, then what am I going to say? Okay. Once a Yid came to Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, and he asked him if he should make Aliyah, should come to Eretz Yisrael. So he answered him the following. He said, the Gemara says in Brachas, Davches, Amudal, it says they told Rabbi Yochanan that there's old people living in Babel. And he said, it can't be. He said, why not? They said, why not? He says, because it's going against the pasuk. The pasuk said, we say in Kriyat Shema, Laman yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem, so you should have yirbu yameichem, length of days, where? Ba'aretz. So only in Eretz Yisrael you can have length of days. So how could it be that in Bavel, in Chutzaretz, how can they be people that are old? So Rabbi Yochanan couldn't understand it until they told them that there are people in Babel that get up early and stay late in the Beis Medrash, in the shuls, the Beis Medrash. So he understood, that's why they have length of days, because they're sitting and learning. And so says Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, what do we see from this Gemara? That the shuls in Beis Batei Medrash in the Chutzaretz, they have a din of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you can live long if you're in the shuls, because that's like being in Eretz Yisrael. So he says that all the opposite is also true, therefore. Right? If the shuls are like Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it means that Eretz Yisrael is like a shul. So Meili told this man, you want to know if you want to make Aliyah? He said, if you can, you'll be able to act in Eretz Yisrael the way you're supposed to act in a shul, then you can come to Eretz Yisrael. But if you can't act that way, then don't come to Eretz Yisrael. After the sin of the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Chai Yisrael, and Hashem said, "Vayomer Hashem, salachti ki dvarecha." They say, "Al pirem is that slicha, how much, and if Hashem forgives, goes according to how much we ask for it. How sincere is our request for that?" That's hinted to Vayomer Hashem. What does Hashem say? Salachti, I'll forgive you, ki dvarecha, like your words. If you say the words properly, the proper intent, then salachti. Salachti kivarech. Say a similar remez in the we say in davening, Yihi chasacha Hashem aleinu kasher yichalnu lach. That the chesed, Yihi chasacha, your chesed will be on us, Hashem. How much? Kasher yichalnu lach. How much we hope for you. The more we hope for you, that's how much chesed you're going to shine on us. Mida keneged mida. So after the sins, Hashem, as we know, punished the people. And the Dor Midbar, the 600,000 men, right, had to die out in the Midbar and were not allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael because of the sin of the spies. So what happened? They were to die out, not at once. It was 40 years. They were to wander 40 years in the desert until that generation dies out. So make the cheshbon, right? There's 600,000 men for 40 years. It means 15,000 a year. So the Midrash tells us what happened. Every Tisha B'Av, because that's when the incident happened on Tisha B'Av, every Tisha B'Av, every man dug a grave for himself and slept that night, Leil Tisha B'Av, in the grave that he dug for himself. All the men. And in the morning, next morning, they woke up, except for 15,000 that remained in their grave, and they threw the dirt on them, and that was that. And that occurred every year. Every year they dug their graves, another 15,000 died. Every year another 15,000 died. Says the Gemara, until the last year, when the last 15,000 went in, and went in Leil Tisha B'Av, next morning they all woke up. They said, what's going on over here? There's obviously we made a mistake. We thought it was Tisha B'Av. It wasn't. I guess tomorrow's Tisha B'Av. So they went back in again. And again they woke up. That's strange. And again they say, I guess we mistake. Until Tu B'Av. Because Tu B'Av is the middle of the month. The moon is full. They said, it's for sure not the 9th of Av now. The moon is full. It's the middle of the month. So then they knew the Gzeirah was over. So they asked the question, why were these 15,000, the last 15,000, Zochah to live? They were the last 15,000 that should have died. And they didn't. Well, why? So there's a beautiful verse from Rav Chaim Tsarvikovsky. He says the following. He says, the reason why they lived is because they davened from the depth of their heart. It's his meaning. He says, every year, okay, from the beginning, the first after the sin of the spies, and the first, the beginning of the 40 years, like we said, every Tisha B'Av, they all went in there. So you can imagine, they were, very, very emotional moment over here. They're going into their graves, they might not get out, and they probably, davened that, that shouldn't be them, right? That they shouldn't die. And it was a very sincere tefillah, because it's a real thing, there's 15,000, we're not going to get up. said, however, even though it was a real tefillah, but it wasn't 100%. Why? Because in the back of their mind, they knew that it might not be me. So it was a tefillah, it's a strong tefillah, but it wasn't 100% from the depth of the heart. Because there's always a chance that maybe it's not me, maybe it's not going to be me this year. That went on and on and on, until the last 15,000. When the last 15,000 went in, it's me, that's it. I'm the last of the 15,000. So when I go to sleep tonight, I'm not supposed to get up, and there's no options over here, it's for sure me. So that tefillah of the last 15,000 was a tefillah from the depth of the heart. Rav Levinsky puts it, the tefillah without options. Right? The tefillah has to be without option. Not like, well, okay, but an example, a person's sick. So he says, I'm sick and you daven Hashem, take away my stomach ache, But lemaisa, if you don't, I'm going to go to the Kupat Cholim and I'll get some medicine and I'll take it away that. So, you're dumbing to Hashem, but just with an option. It doesn't work out. I'll go to the doctor. It's not completely relying on Hashem. A real tefillah is a tefillah that's relying 100%. Unfortunately, we're not always holding there. Our tefillahs are so, our mind are somewhere else when we're dumbing. You say, tongue in cheek, says that the goyim, when they don't daven, so they, how do they travel? They travel with transportation vehicles, cars, boats, whatever, right? So that's what we say in the pasuk, Eila verecha ve'eila v'susim. The goyim, they have a recha, v'susim, they take their transportation means. Why? Because they don't daven. But nachnu, b'shem Hashem elkeinu naskir. We daven, so we're flying around without any vehicles. We're davening. We're davening our mind. It's here, our mind there. We're floating all over the place. We don't need the vehicles. B'shem Hashem elkeinu naskir. So that's our avoda, that our tefillahs have to be me'omak halev, as we have to realize that no, there isn't really an option. Really, everything's Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. It's only Hashem. And that's how a person has to daven, and such tefillahs have tremendous koach, as we saw, that saved the lives of these last 15,000. Okay, one last, at the end of the Sedra is the Parsha of Tzitzis. So once, Rav Reuven Rekorenstein Shlita, Shiabari, he told over that there was once a Bachar that came to the Stipler. And he had a shayla. He says, Rebbe, I'd like to go out and do some outreach. So there's a thing, they're very big here and there. It's Israel to try to sign up kids to go to from schools. People aren't not from, whatever. So he wants to, go out and do this, So he asked the stipler, is it okay to do this, to go out and to sign up kids, the non-religious kids, etc. So the stipler said, go learn. In other words, aren't we involving yourself with these things? Just go learn. So the Bachur said, but Rebbe, maybe it wasn't clear. I'm talking about Beinizmani. Of course, during the Zman, I'm talking, of course I'm going to learn. I thought, during Beinizmani, I want to do it in Beinizmani. So the stipler said, oh, Beinizmani, okay, that's a different story. He says, okay, that I hear. Beinizmani, okay. So the Bachur says, okay, good, thank you very much, I got the okay. So he gets up to leave. Before he leaves, the stipler calls him back. And he says, just one second. So he pulls out his tzitzis. He shows the Bachur his tzitzis. He says, you see these? I said, yeah. He says, now, these are tzitzis, right? He says, yeah. So he says, you see this string over here? He says, this string is the shamash. The shamash is the main string of the tzitzis. It ties all the things together and makes the tzitzis. Without the shamash, there's no tzitzis, right? It's the main focal point of the whole thing is the shamash, correct? He brings it all together. And he says, yeah. He says, take note, he says, the shamash, before you start making the tzitzis, is the longest of all the strings. But when you finish making it, it's the shortest. Meaning, okay, you want to go outreach, very fine. But you have to realize, right now, you can be very big. Once you go out, it's very good, important, you're going to make the tzitzis, you're making, you're building, you're doing something very chashuv, the shamash is chashuv. But in the end, you're smaller. It's got to make you smaller. And going out there in the world, it's going to make you smaller. Just realize that. So the Shem, we should be zoicha to stay big and keep steiging and learning, staying in the Beis Medrash, staying in the Beis Medrash here in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have to be in Chutz La'aretz and it's like we're in Eretz Yisrael. We should be in the Beis Medrash of Eretz Yisrael. And with that, Hashem will be happy with his sons here and bring the Bias Kol Tzedek, Mimir V'Yameinu.